this morning, Psalm 24. Do have a good bit of sickness going on. I know you're missing some people, and pray for them, send them a note, and just a lot of stuff. Of course, schools were shut down here. I think they're reopened tomorrow. Do pray if you miss somebody. And then, then continue. Like I said, make sure if you have any interest, any of those areas in the back, we have several teams. We will collect those today and reorganize. You can still join later on, but we will do some training, those kind of things. And then, like I said, if you're wanting to help with children, we'll start that process. That is almost a non-negotiable with us about the background check. And so if you think an exception, you'll just need to see me privately. I'll be glad to talk to you. But we do that for our protection and your protection. Nod your head if you're with me here. I hate to be that way in 2019, but it's the flip side of the coin. I don't hate to be that way in 2019. If you're going to work with children, we take lots of steps that way. And so that's kind of why we do things, and that's all right. Psalm 24, hold your finger there, and we'll be in 2 Corinthians. But stand with us if you would. Psalm 24, and then we'll be right in 2 Corinthians. Psalm 24, verse 1. I'm going to read it, then I want you to read it if you would. The earth is the Lord, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. See if you can read that back with me. You can look on the screen if you don't have it on your phone or your Bible there. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. God created and owns the world, and all the stuff, and all the people. Who owns it? The earth is the Lord's. Psalm 24, verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We looked just a verse or two last Sunday night at our Super Sunday night. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, look at verse number 6. 2 Corinthians 8, verse number 6. Insomuch we desired Titus as we had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. What grace is that? What is he wants to finish in you? Therefore, as you abound in everything, faith, utterance, that's a speaking gift, knowledge, diligence, and your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. What grace is he talking about? I speak not by commandment, but occasion the forwardness of others to prove the sincerity of your love. Verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, yet through his poverty we might be made rich. Skip down to verse 15 in the text there, guys. Verse 15, as it is written, he that gathered had much, had nothing over. He that gathered little had no lack. But thanks be to God, which put the earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. He talks about their abundance and their supply and their generosity, and he calls it a great grace. And I want to help you today. Today I want to help you. Why should I care about being generous? I'm going to give you some whys there. And then next week, I'm going to be real practical about how does this kind of work out? How's it going to flesh out, okay? Because I think everybody, I want to approach it. Everybody wants to follow the Lord in this area. We want to, and we want to know why we should care. And then I want to tell you not only why you should care, but how you can work this out. Whether you're a teenager with a little bit of allowance, whether you're a college student, whether you're single again, whether you're married, whether you're crazy broke, whether you're broke and got a little bit, wherever you find yourself, how can I be generous in my attitude, my action? How can I be generous with my time and my talent and my treasure? How can I do this? Because we live in a selfish world. Nod your head if you believe it. We live in a selfish, do-for-me world. Look out for me. We hire lawyers to protect our stuff. And so we struggle with this. And I want to help us not to struggle, but to excel. And I want to do this. Why should I be concerned about being generous? Would you pray with me? Father, from front to back, left to right, help us this morning to hear, understand, and obey. Help me not to preach as somebody who's arrived. Help me to preach someone who's in process. And Father, would you help us this morning? Help us to get beyond this is about an offering, and help us to understand this is priority. Help us to understand who is the priority and why you should be the priority. And help us to live our lives holding on to stuff loosely. Because you've commanded us and typified us to us to be generous. And so help us, I ask you to do that in our lives right now. I pray it in your son's precious name. And amen. You can be seated. We had one of my favorite things last week, and we did a little bit of math. And anybody remember our giving math from last week? Anybody remember our giving math is one of our favorite things. How many of you, some of you remember that? Some of you? And to some of you that are new here, we got to do that with you, and you hadn't done that before. And we said, you know, preacher, you can't talk a whole month about generosity, but people will go blah, 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 and they'll be mad, and they'll be upset, and all. And I said, no, you know, it'll be all right. It'll be all right because we do our math. You remember the math last week there, Sam? And we said people who might get really, really mad because you talk about being a steward of your time, or manager of your time, your talent, your treasure, and testimony, they're probably doing what? Probably giving what? Zero. And they're probably serving probably not very much, right? You know, and so they feel this way. So if they're going to get mad, they're doing what? They're doing a whole big bag of nothing. They're probably giving what? Yeah, that's right. Some of you are like, this. I remember this. I don't remember anything else he said last week, but I remember that they're giving zero. And so, Mike, if they're going to get mad, they're going to leave. They're going to take all their service with them, which is probably zero. And they're going to take their giving with them, which was probably zero. And so if they take and they leave, and so we got to do our math. And some of you are over here smiling because you love this illustration. And they're going to take their zero minus zero, which means that they took what? Zero. So we're not, why are we worried about people being really upset? Amen. If you join the Kiwanis, you got to say you're going to do so much a year. If you join the, if you join the Shriners, if you join any kind of club, I've had people approach me and they say, you got to do this, but you got to be willing to do this and this and this. This is just a requirement for being here. And I'm going, okay, I understand that. I get that. It's no problem. Some of you have been involved in the bands around here and bands in town, the high school bands and all. And they just look at you and say, your fee is this, and then you got to raise this much more on this. This is just how it is. And this is what we expect you to do. And you go, oh, okie dokie, okie dokie. Joseph coached Little League and all, and you had an equipment fee and all these kind of things. You got to have this, got to have that. We do this in every area, but for some reason we're like, you can't talk about being generous. You can't talk about being committed with your time, your talent, and those kind of things in the Lord's work. I just think that's absolutely backwards. Absolutely backwards. You say, preacher, okay, I'm on board with you. I'm on board with you, but it's difficult, difficult. Charles Stone, who writes and travels, publishes, he put together a list. And I want to just kind of walk us through, because this is scary. Now, nod your head. If maybe years ago it was scary, or maybe it's scary right now to think about, I need to do a little differently with my time, my talent, my treasure, and my testimony. Nod your head if that's ever. It has been for me. Nod your head. So I want to help you. These are some things maybe that'll help us, and I want to walk you through. There's the reasons why people are scared to be generous, or they don't want to be generous, or those kind of things. Number one, it's all mine anyway. Why should I give? You don't get people say this out loud too much, but they do say this. They do say that. It's all mine. It's all mine. We just read this morning, though, Psalm 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It's not yours. It all belongs to Him. It all belongs to Him. Say, it doesn't all belong to Him. You get on oxygen, you figure out how much it costs just to breathe. Nod your head and say amen. You figure out somewhere, you water breaks at your house, you figure out how much it costs to get fixed. You got to go buy a bottle of water. It's all the Lord. Somebody says, well, I second reason Charles Stone says people don't give. He says, I give elsewhere. And by that they mean I give to the Shriners, or I give over here, or I pay my taxes, or I had a lady one time say my presence is enough. And I thought, okie dokie, are you a check? Are you cash? Or, you know, and she was a professional critic. Nod your head if you've ever met a professional critic. I mean, she was excellent. And she said, my presence is enough. Well, the Bible says, bring all the tithes in the storehouse. The Bible talks about the first day of the week, let it be set aside. You have a biblical issue here if you're saying that you're bartering or something like that. Number three, somebody says, well, tithing is not in the New Testament. Tithing there, and we're going to explore that in a minute, this idea of a percentage, not New Testament. And you would be right. Tithing, the word is not in the New Testament, but over and over and over again, they're doing what? They are setting aside a portion of what they have, of what they make, and giving it to the Lord's work and the Lord's ministries and the Lord's purposes. Truth of the matter is, if you'd be better off trying to argue for tithing, because in the New Testament it says you are to give as you've been blessed. How many of us have been blessed a whole lot more than we care to admit? Man, you start thinking about blessings and people in your lives and all these kind of things. And so I don't think that one holds water. He says, number four, he says, well, you know, just God will provide through other people. God will provide through other people. They'll handle it. Anybody besides me in 2019 just tired of everybody passing the buck? They'll handle it. I'm tired of people passing the buck politically. You know, whatever we are now, $1 trillion, ever how many trillions of dollars in debt, and they're just kicking it down the road, going somebody else will pay for it. That's not right. And you need to start dealing with this mess now. Somebody say amen. I know it's political, but it's fiscal responsibility. God will provide the, you know, those people who drive nice cars, they'll take care of it. Those people, God will do that. You know, it's not for me, you know, like I said, it's not God will do this for other people. No, God's not trying to raise money. God's trying to raise his children. God's trying to raise his children. Number five, my gifts don't really count. My gifts don't really count. Again, you missed the point. God's trying to raise his children. God said, I've given you this. I'm trying to teach you to trust me and to obey me. I'm trying to teach you to do this. When our children were small, they had jobs, they had chores. You may here think young children ought to have jobs and chores. All the kids in here going, no. And teenagers ought to have a bag of jobs. Yeah. They're all going, they're giving me bad Yelp reviews while I'm preaching. And so we do that. How many of you understand that a child does a job, you're going right behind them to redo the job? Anybody besides me? I had a friend. I've seen it lampooned, but I had a friend who they kid came out and got the mop, got the wood handle, and then the just the terry cloth kind of deal, and was just mopping away, and the mom was so proud of her little girl. Man, I can't believe you're cleaning. About that time, it dawns on her, where in the world did she get mop water from? And terror filled her. And she ran in there, and sure enough, kids in there just plunging the toilet, and just slinging that toilet water everywhere. And so it went from "Good job, honey" to "Oh, honey, what did you do?" And now you got a big mess, and the mats and everything. Oh man, we weren't giving our kids jobs to do because we thought they were going to do a great job. We're giving them something to do, man, because they needed to be a part of the family. They need to be a part of the family. See, my $5, $50, $500, whatever it is, man, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You misunderstand. God owns everything. He's not out there looking for you to help him. God's trying to help you to learn to trust him and to obey him. It's not about the amount of the gift. Remember, God sits by the treasury, and he looked at the amount that she gave from and the amount that she gave. Number six, I don't trust preachers. I don't trust preachers. Some of you are too young to remember, but there was a huge scandal. It was a PTL scandal. It was over here in the Charlotte area. There was money given for certain things that was misappropriated that way. It was really a technical finance charge that a lot of them were arrested on. Misappropriation is one of the reasons we have very strict rules here. If you give for the Christmas deal, it goes in a Christmas deal. If you give for missions, it goes in mission. We just were really careful about that here because it's not just an ethical thing. It's a legal thing, but we really are there. But I'd gone out visiting some after that. There was some ostensibly some wife swapping that went on. And look right at me. And I was out. I was working, visiting a part of the neighborhood. I was actually in my hometown. I was probably 300. I was maybe a football field. I started to say 300 feet, but 100 yards from my house. And there was a little subdivision there, and I knocked on the door. It's about 11:30 on a Saturday morning. And a lady came to the door. She had on, I call it a house coat kind of thing, and she'd missed a few buttons. And she came to the door. She had a curler in her hair. And she had an open beer in one hand, and she had a cigarette in the other, and said, "What do you want?" And I was like, "My name's Rodney. I'm from Faith Church up here in Goldsboro, and I saw some toys out here, and we run a bus through here, and I was wondering if you and your family go to church." "Where?" "Church. You people are awful. I watch the TV." Put her beer down, put the beer back. She says, "I watch the TV. You people are just rascals." And she just started cussing and all, and said, "You people are awful. I wouldn't dare send my kids somewhere like that." And so she went back inside and slammed the door. And I'm thinking, I don't think she trusts preachers. I don't think she trusts churches. Nod your head if you think that was me just reading between the lines a little bit here. Man, she's buzzed out of her gourd and it ain't lunchtime, and she's passing judgment on me. By the way, I'm like 18 at the time, maybe 17, and she's lumping me in with these dudes over here in Charlotte. And all. I get that. I don't trust preachers. I don't trust people. I don't trust politics. I don't trust. That's why we have systems in place. That's why we have finances in place. That's why we give out things. If you're a member here, whether you want it or not, you get a financial sheet from us every so many months, because we're going to be accountable, because we want to have clean hands, because we don't want you ever say, I don't trust people, and it to be true. Somebody say amen to that. Number 7, I only give to projects I like. I only give to projects I like. I love November, December. But I can't stand the commercials. Because all of a sudden, what do you see? See hungry children with flies on their mouth. And you see this over here. And they're just pulling at your heartstrings, right? Those people have never heard Beethoven or Bach, but all of a sudden, in deepest, darkest somewhere, they're playing Beethoven and Bach to try and make you feel bad, right? If you would just give, you know, 20 cents a day or $20 a month or whatever, these kind of things, and all these, no, man, we want to give what? Give for the kingdom of God. We want to invest in the resources of God. There's something about it when you say, God, I trust you. Number 8 there, I have no control over my own finances. Sometimes you see this in spouses, relationships. Let me help you. Man, my heart goes out to you. You want to do, and spouse says no. I hate that. I was just out of college. Guy looked right here. Guy was just notoriously tight. He was probably a millionaire. Gave his wife a little allowance. She clipped coupons. We found this out when she passed. She clipped coupons, take the money she saved from the coupons, and she'd give the Lord's work. He kind of got his heart right with the Lord right before she passed. He was going through her stuff and her records. He figured out what she'd done. He called me over to the house, weeping like a baby, saying, my wife, for all these years, I'd told her no, and she did it out of her little itty-bitty money. He gave me the figure, what he thinks she had given to the Lord's work all those years. He said, now I've been sitting over here making her miserable, but she was determined to serve Jesus. What a fool, what a fool, what a fool I've been. Say, how do you remember that so well? Because his name was Rodney and my name was Rodney. He was pushing 80, figured out he'd wasted his life being mad at the world about some things. I believe you do what the best you can. Number nine, Stone says, I'll tithe when I can afford it. I'll tithe when I can afford it. I'll give when I can afford it. I that's never true. Fact of the matter is, every statistic, whether you're looking at nonprofits or church world, the more money you make, the less you give. Because you're more concerned about it. Increasing giving does not mean increase in income. It almost always means you give less. If you won't do now, if God can't trust you now with $5, how's he going to trust you with $5,000? How's he going to trust you with $50,000? No, not when you can afford it. I've got so much I want to say there. Number 10, and he says, I'm afraid to. And that's where I want to help you. This week, next week, I want to help you. I'm afraid to. I have permission from my wife to tell any of these stories, and I'll tell some during financial peace. We are getting serious. Say, how serious were you? I'd asked her to marry me. She never did say yes, but she went through with the wedding. She reminds me of that every so often. I gave her a ring. She got excited. We took pictures. It did dawn on me at some point she never said yes. But 22 years later, I reckon we're hitched still. I got my ring. I don't know about it. You know, so. She's a Christian school teacher. Look right here. Working a small school. She qualified for food stamps. She qualified for federal assistance or local assistance in housing. She was way below the poverty line. She'd go home 1 week in a month. Her parents would load her up with groceries, send her back. We were getting married. I was coming right out of grad school. Basically, I was working for my tuition. we got married with $3 and a couple of cents in our pocket heading into the wedding. A lot of fun. We were paying our bills. She'd gotten behind. She'd gotten a little sideways. Wasn't being generous at her church. We talked on the phone. She was in North Carolina. I was in Florida. I said, "Baby, we cannot ask God to bless our marriage if we're not going to do what's right." We wrote a check with money we needed to go somewhere else. She caught up her giving and breathed real long. And I'm convinced for 22 years, we have watched God be good to us and take care of us. Because before we ever said, "I do," and "I do," at some point, somebody put in our head, "You need to honor God. You need to obey Him. You need to trust Him." And we had to trust Him when it didn't make any financial sense. I'm afraid to. Been there, done that. Got the t-shirt. I want to offer you a couple of things here, a couple of things that I think will be a real help to you, Someone has said there are four levels of giving, giving them a time, a talent, a treasure. If all you hear is money, 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 it's everything. There's obligation, I have to. There's convenience, if it's easy, I got $10 I didn't know I had, or I've got a half hour I can kill. There's generosity, this is when I'm just enjoying it. There's generosity, man, this is great, this is amazing, this is tremendous, this is marvelous. Then there's sacrifice, I'm going to give even though it means I'm not going to do something else, or I got to figure out how to do something else. So let me give you two examples here about the why. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. There's an example from the Old Testament, and then I want to give you the example of Jesus, and I want to challenge you. I got 7 minutes here, if you'll listen fast. I want to do the example of the Old Testament. There's this example there, and it's the word tither, tither. Now, I didn't grow up in church. I always thought that was tithe, because that's what it looks like to me, not dread of anybody else. Tithe, and what in the world is a tithe, or a tithe, rather? It is long. What is that? If you research it out, this was not only giving, but it was a series of taxes that they would do. There's multitudinous passages here, if you'll just take my word for it this morning, and it would just save a little bit of time. But it basically, a tithe simply means a tenth, but they actually had different ones. And if you average it out over a 3-year period, it comes to about 23.5%. This was not just for the temple or the tabernacle, but this was some other things like the work and all. Somebody says, "Well, I'm just gonna give a tithe. Well, I'm like, "Man, if you're gonna give 23.5%, you know, we'll name a pew after you." Right? And you can have your own microphone. I don't know. I'm just being silly here. But we get this, and we say, "I want to do this." Well, some of this was for just the worship things, and some of it was for the other. So we obviously are not talking about that. We're talking about what does this mean? Say, "I don't believe in tithing. I don't believe that's." And you heard this on the radio. You heard this from a preacher and all. Well, let me help you. They tithed before Abraham. Somebody says it's. That's just the law. Well, they tithed before Abraham. They tithed before the law came about. Truth of the matter is, excuse me, they tithed before Abraham, they tithed before the law. You go to Hebrews, you'll talk about Melchizedek and who predates the law, and this was expected. I am expected what? There's a percentage floor somewhere that I get to do this. And I have an example, man, that I live off of less so that I can be generous. I live off of less so that I can be generous. I live off of less of my time so that I can be generous. I live off of less of my, I give of my talent so I can be generous this way. There's an example. excuse me. Randy Cox, for years and years, pastor, First Real Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina, he loved to say this. He said, the tithe is the floor, is not the ceiling. Tithe is the floor, not the ceiling. Again, some of you hear that, and some of you are going, "Man, I never thought about it like that. God help me to live this way. I'm not just trying to get there, man. I'd love to stand on that. I'd love to be very, very generous. I'd love to let God just work through me this way." Someone has said it's a numerical starting place to begin my grace-giving journey. It's a numerical starting place to begin my grace-giving journey. Say, break it down for me, and I'll do this a little more next week. But if you made $90 this week, man, think this way. I'm going to give $9 to the Lord's work. I made $900, I'm going to give $90. I made $9,000. If you made $9,000, there are people in this room who would like to apply at your company. And and so it's where we are. You give your kids $5. Try and teach them, man. Think this way. Think this way. So that's rigidity. It's a starting point. That's an example from the Old Testament. This is a starting point for us. It's a numerical starting place. Then secondly, there's the example of the Old Testament, the example of Jesus. That's where we are in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. David Jeremiah, in one of his books, he says these four things here. He says about Christ that he sacrificed a spiritual existence for a fleshly existence. It cost him something to come to this earth. To come to this earth, be born among men. Number two, he sacrificed the presence of God for the presence of men. From heaven's perfection to earth's wickedness. From all the pleasure of glory to the problems of being down here on earth. He did that for you and for me. Jeremiah says he sacrificed the beauty of heaven for the streets of earth. You ever think, I'm ready for there to be no more problems. I'm ready for no more pain, no more aggravation. I'm ready for no more sin and no more sorrow. Somebody say amen if you're ready. Jesus did this for us. Wait for it. And he sacrificed his precious blood for my awful sin. He did this for me. This is the picture of grace giving God gives to us. All right, preacher, I'm with you. I've got it. I understand some of the problems and the reasons why people are scared about being generous with their time or their talent or whatever. I get it. I get that the Old Testament is full of a numerical principle. And the New Testament just blows that up and talks about to give as we've been blessed. So I've got a starting point. So how's this going to work out in my life? Still with me? Say amen. Number one, I think you say this. I will live generously. God help me to live generously. Mine. Two kids. We had two children, so one wouldn't be a brat. What we didn't realize is two children, so they could both fight. I come home, my wife looked at me and said, my name is now Isabel. Why? Because I'm tired of being mommy. I'd hear, mine. She'd look at me. Wasn't a request. Deal with that. Okie dokie. I'd walk in there going, mine. I'd grab it going, nope, it's mine. I bought it. I'd walk out. Little crumb crunchers running behind me going, Daddy took my toy. Going, mine now. Hold up here. They're screaming. I'd walk toward my wife. She's going, why did you walk toward me? I don't know. Get them out of here. Remember, I'm Isabel. And walk out. Isn't that how we act sometimes with the Lord? Mine. God's going, no, I gave that to you. I gave you health. I gave you blessing. I gave you ability. I gave you education. I did that. I will live generously. Give God the first of your time. Tommy alluded to it. Early in the morning, he's witnessed his wife up. And in the Word of God, give God the first of your time. That may not be first thing in the morning. Maybe at lunchtime. Maybe you're a different shift and all. For years, Ron Mitchell, he'd say, preacher, you talk about people having their devotions first thing in the morning. For me, first thing in the morning is about 1 a.m. And when I'm at work, man, give God the first of your time. Daily reading and prayer, a church attendance, priority of family, finding a place to serve. Give God the first of your time. We should be people who at the very least say, God, this is important, and I give you the best of what I have and of who I am. Give God the first of your time. Give God the first of your talents. It's part of our sign up in the back. I make no apology. I think everybody ought to do something for Jesus. Everybody ought to do something. It's in the country club we're running here. And we get to serve you, and that is a great blessing. But you get to serve others. You get to serve others. I will give God the first of my talents. God gave me abilities. I will use them for Him. Give God the first of your treasure. Give God the first of your treasure. This is the priority. God, you gave me this, and here we go. We just figure out the rest of it. It matters. It absolutely, positively matters. There's so much I want to say. I'll say it next week. God, give me the first. Give me. God gave me everything I have. I am just managing it for Him. When I look at that way, whether that's my children, whether that's my marriage, whether that's an automobile, whether that's any talent that I have, I'm just managing it for Him, and I will give an account to Him. I will give an account to Him. I will live. I will give. I will give time and talent. I'll give generously. I'll give generously. Why should I be concerned about being generous? Because God has commanded me to be generous. God has been generous to me. And God expects generosity out of His people. He has shown us 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and He asked for that grace to grow in you. Would you pray that way this morning? God, help me to live generously because I serve a generous God. Would you pray with me right now?